Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
After feeding the 5,000, Jesus dismissed the crowd. He went one way, and his disciples went another. He went off to a mountain to pray. They went off in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. And all of this was the Lord's doing. It was his idea that they do this. He forced them to leave late into the day, knowing how the winds kick up strong at night. It says he compelled them to get into their little boat and set a sail. Jesus wanted them out on the water, in the wind, and in the darkness. He set them up. Recently, a young man from Thousand Oaks, California, named Zach Sunderland, completed a solo sailing trip around the world in a 36-foot sailboat. He endured storms, pirates, nearly getting crushed by freighters in the Panama Canal. How cool is that for a 17-year-old, huh? Man, I tried to imagine what it would be like to be on the high seas all alone in a 36-foot sailboat. I've been out on boats, but rarely out of sight of land. It's an entirely different thing when it's just you and your little boat bobbing on the water with no land whatsoever in sight. That little boat suddenly seems awfully small and awfully fragile, and your life literally hangs on it. Imagine Noah bobbing about on the waves with his 7 family members in an ark full of animals with no dry land in sight for nearly a year. I would imagine there were some anxious moments on board that ark, with the wind blowing, the sea swelling, the boat creaking. There's nothing like being out on the open water to remind us that we are creatures of the dust, of the earth, of the land. The sea is an alien place for us. It's a nice place to visit, but we really couldn't live there. We belong to the dry land, not to the water. I get a special sense of this when scuba diving, actually, in places where divers always go, the fish tend to know divers as a source of a free lunch, and so they hang around. But in the more remote places, when you go off to some of the remote dive sites on the Channel Islands, the fish and the sea life kind of look at you strangely. They have a surprised look on their faces, like, what on earth are you doing here? You don't belong here. You belong on the land. This is our turf. On the water, we are but tourists, pilgrims, visitors, strangers. And yet, strangely, there is something about water that is not foreign to us or alien to us. We need it for life. And we are all born out of water, suspended in our mother's wombs for 9 months until her water breaks and we are born into this world. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the whole earth was covered with water, the chaotic deep. And the Spirit of God blew like a wind over the face of the waters, and God's creative word spoke and echoed over those waters, and the dance of life began. It's all there in this miracle today, this miracle in the gospel, the water, the darkness, the wind. Jesus walks on the water as though it were solid ground under his feet. He is the Lord of creation. The sea is his, for he made it. He is the master of the wind. He is the Lord of the darkness. They all do his bidding because he is the word through whom all things were made. And there's a bit more going on under the surface in this miracle. The ancient people believed that Leviathan, that great sea monster, the dragon, the personification of death and evil, lurked under the deep. The deep was his home. And so when Jesus walks upon the water, it's as though he's taking a stroll in the park while treading on the back of Leviathan. He's trampling the devil underfoot when he does that. He's the Lord's, he's the devil's Lord too. The devil belongs to the Lord, and the old evil foe knows that he's no match for him. He's judged, the deed is done, one little word can fell him. Now here's the strange thing that Mark records. Jesus intended to pass them by as he was walking on the water. He wasn't walking on the water to catch up with them. He fully intended to pass them by. You know, kind of a, how's it going, boys? See you on the other side. Keep rowing. What on earth is that about? I'm not sure. I'm not sure I fully understand this, but I have a suspicion that Jesus was in the business of teaching this group in the boat. He's always teaching them. And that's why he goes first. He leads and they follow. See, that's what he's trying to teach them. Even when they are rowing and rowing and rowing and getting nowhere against the wind that is in their face, Jesus leads them as only Jesus can lead them. He goes before them and he goes before us through death to resurrection and life, bringing us along with him. We are powerless to row against the chaotic forces that threaten us, but not Jesus. For him, it's just a stroll, a walk in the park. He's the Lord of life, the Lord of all creation, the Word, the Redeemer, the Savior. With him, the darkness is no threat. The wind obeys his command. The chaotic waters stand firm under his feet. Now, the disciples thought they were seeing a phantom or a ghost. Superstitions abound on the sea, even today. Some people thought that water spirits came out at night to signal disaster. The mind can play tricks on you, on the water. They were terrified, literally scared out of their wits. So Jesus abandons ship on his little object lesson, and he brings comfort to them instead. Didn't mean to scare you, boys. Have some courage. It's me. Don't be afraid. Or to translate it literally so you catch it, have courage. I am. Fear not. He comforts them with who he is. I am in the flesh, the Lord in the flesh. He got into the boat with them instead of going by, and the wind died down. The one who is the I am gets into their boat, and they are safe. Oh, they would have been safe anyway. Even had Jesus gone to the other side, they would have been perfectly safe, but they didn't trust that yet. They didn't fully understand about the loaves, Mark says, and what that meant. Their hearts were stubborn, slow to believe, as our hearts are stubborn and slow as well. Quick to panic, quick to doubt, slow to trust, stubborn to believe. And so what happens when you find yourself in choppy waters, with the wind slapping at your face at 3 o'clock in the morning, and no land in sight? What happens to you? Will a Jesus walking on the water bring you any comfort? And do you really think so? Or will you scream and panic the way those disciples did, imagining you're seeing ghosts? Probably. And here's the point. For all the wonderful things the miracle reveals about Jesus, how he's the Lord of creation, how he's the conqueror of the chaos, how he's the one who tramples Leviathan under his feet, the one who has lordship over the sea and the wind. For all that awesome display of sheer divine power, there is no confidence, there is no comfort, there is no hope, there is no faith. See, now you see why faith can't be based on miracles alone. Even the disciples who are eyewitnesses to more miracles than you and I combined will ever see in a lifetime were slow to believe. This is one of the most amazing things that you can read in the Gospels. You'd think, hey, if I were there with the disciples, I would have believed Jesus. Man, he fed 5,000. He calmed the storm. You know, he did all kinds of cool things. I would have believed him. I wouldn't have been so dense. I wouldn't have been so slow. I would not have been so hardened as these 12 guys in the boat. Really? Think of how easily we fall into doubt, into disbelief, into panic. I do. It takes a lot less than a little boat on the water at the fourth watch of the night. The slightest perturbation in our peace, and it's as though we have no God, no salvation, no hope of eternal life, nothing. And that's the old nature at work in us, my friends, the inner sinner of ours that does not take God at his word, that constantly needs proof that he's there, he's with us, he's going to help us, that doesn't trust that God knows what he's doing. And we think somehow that a little divine muscle exerted in our general direction once in a while will help our faith. Jesus gets in the boat with them. The wind ceases without a word. They are astonished, confused. They don't understand. They can't connect the dots. The loaves, the fishes, the wind, the waves, the darkness, Jesus walking on the water. They can't see it. This Jesus whom they are following is the I Am, the eternal Word, God in the flesh, come to save them, and they can't see it. They don't get it. And who can blame them? Who can really see it? Remember what we confess in the Catechism, third article? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. No matter how many miracles I may see or experience in my life, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit working through the Word and the sacraments, I could not believe. I would not trust Jesus. My heart would be as hardened as those 12, and so would yours. It's nice to hear and know about Jesus walking in the water in the wind at 3 in the morning. I like it. It's a nice story. I'm glad to know he can do that. It's saving to know that Jesus walking in the water of your baptism with the Spirit of God blowing over those baptismal waters. That's saving to know. Walking on the sea, Jesus reveals himself to be Lord of creation, but in the water of baptism, he reveals himself to be your Lord and your Savior. That's the water that counts. That's where the chaos of sin and death comes to an end. That's where fears are calmed, our life is restored. That's where the new creation by water and Spirit happens, where we are born anew from above in a birth that leads to life instead of death. Baptism, that's our little lifeboat, our ark in the water with Jesus right there with us, holding us in his death, raising us in his life, holding our lives as we cannot hold them ourselves. Our lives as Christians, as baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are lives of continual unfolding and growth and learning in what Jesus has done for us and who we are already in Jesus. Just as the disciples were works in progress, so we too are works in progress, always growing into who we are in Jesus and learning about who Jesus is for us. And there are going to be those times when the Lord sends you off in your little boat and he lets you row, row, row your boat with all your might against the wind, and he seems to leave you alone in the darkness. And he will do that for no other reason than to exercise that faith that his Spirit has created in you, to work that trust in his promises so that you too might grow in faith, in knowledge, in love, in hope, in patient endurance, in character. St. Paul's prayer for the Ephesian Christians demonstrates this nicely. These are believers for whom the Apostle Paul prays. Believers just like you and me. And his words can easily be heard as words praying for you. So hear them that way as I read Paul's prayer again. This is for you. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.